Follow, thank you for your time. I think our hearts, minds, are open to hear your word. We'll see clarity from the written word today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Clarity comes from my hallelujah. Praise God. So let's have a seat quickly. We just have one lecture today. Let's do one. We're going to do one. One is going to be lengthy. So let's have a seat. So we're looking at explaining the book of Corinth, right? I'm looking at Corinth. I don't yet know if we can get to Second Corinth. Hallelujah. It depends on the time. So we might cut it short in First Corinth. Glory to God. I also want to advise that between now and Saturday, because by Saturday we'll be entering Corinth and looking at some things. So our advice is that we quickly get the message, our winter on studying the book of First Corinthians, alright? Right? We've had this kind of study before. So I'll quickly advise you to get a hold of that material. I guess it's just a three tracks of four. Just listen to it. It will give us a whole lot of background to what we're going to be looking at today. Hallelujah. The message will minister 2018, right? 2018. So just get a hold of that series then, and then, we are elaborating some things there. Glory to God. Matthew 28. Amen. Verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and you, I am. We say that what I am is a proper name. I am is with you even now to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, we looked at the word disciples, and we said that word disciples, when Jesus said, go make disciples, he asked that we make apprentices, right? We looked at it yesterday. He asked that apprentices be raised. He asked us to make apprentices. That's the word apprentice, a learner. And yesterday, we saw the fact that everyone born again, once a man is born again, irrespective of who you are a learner. Hallelujah. This is the third section. So you are a learner. A learner of the things of God. It doesn't matter your qualification before you get saved. We saw Matthew 13:52. The Bible showed us that about the scribes. Now the scribes, more than when we hear the word scribe, what comes to our head is the Pharisees and Sadducees. The word scribe means educated, one who is learned. So it is when he said the scribe also will be called a learner. I am a learner. If you look at Matthew 27, verse 27, we heard of a rich man in the society called Joseph from Arimathea. The Bible says he also became a student of Jesus. He became a learner of Christ. I am a learner. In Acts 14, the Bible shows us that a whole city, hallelujah, they make disciples from many in the city. And we say that word many is the word multitude. So meaning different people from different walks of life were made students. Hallelujah. So when Jesus asks us to make students, he tells us to make learners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not just that. He not tell us how it should be done. Verse 26, teaching them. So it should be carried out primarily by teaching. Teaching. Hallelujah. And yesterday we saw that the end point of teaching is what? Spiritual growth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, say for instruction in righteousness. That is the word, paideia in diakosune. Paideia is used for spirit, for growth. Hallelujah. Training. Training that brings about growth. Hallelujah. So it will lead to spiritual growth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you said something you must not look out, you must not miss out, is the fact that it is carried out in the garden. So discipleship is carried out in the garden. Hallelujah. So that means that I said it yesterday, I just want to repeat it now again. No one grows outside the local church. Hallelujah. No one grows outside the local church. We'll yet see that shortly. So what it implies is that a strong local church is a local church that is strong on teaching. A strong local church is a local church that is strong on teaching. Hallelujah. Strong on teaching. Because when you are strong in teaching, you'll be strong in your practice of what you've been taught. Hallelujah. So a strong local church is a local church strong in teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said that yesterday also, that the teaching of the word leads to spiritual growth and it should be deliberate. So a Bible teacher is deliberate in teaching. Is deliberate in teaching. So if the Bible teacher is deliberate in teaching, that means spiritual growth is deliberate. So it's on both sides. The one who is being taught is deliberate. The one who is teaching is also deliberate teaching. Hallelujah. Teaching unto spiritual growth. And the one who is receiving too is deliberate. Hallelujah. So nothing is done from the blue. No, deliberate. Glory to God, deliberation. So when Paul tells Timothy, he says, be diligent. You can say that is be deliberate, because the word diligent is the word that means it shows his effort. So it calls for deliberacy in what's presented by the truth. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So spiritual growth cannot be achieved outside the local church. No. No. You must talk about it. I tell people that, see, you must have a local church. As a young person, you have to decide that, where is my local church? Because, you know, many times people move from one church to the other or listen to several people. The multiplicity churches or multiplicity of preachers will also get confusion. Paul will tell them, well, let us see that. He said, you tell them in the church at Corinth. He says, you have to have many tutors. Are you hearing me? That is the word many. That is the word we'll let us see today. Hallelujah. Paedagogos, which is tutors. Tutors are like nannies. But you know you have one father. So Paul makes them know you have only a father. Hallelujah. He will tell one of his writings to a particular church, which is the church of Galatia, he said, I begat you. Do you understand? So you must see that. Do you understand? You must learn to see that. You cannot say, I go to this church in the morning, go to this one on Wednesday, go to this one on Saturday, go to this one on Sunday. I don't want to have a local church. That means you don't want to grow. Hallelujah. That means you don't want to grow. You must be deliberate to say, this is my local church. This is who I'm under. This is who I'm submitting to. Hallelujah. I met someone one time. I said, where is your local church? He called the name of the church. Oh, that's good. Then I asked him, it's something we will see when we discuss local church and I. That will be next 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Hallelujah. Again, ask the person, they say, what's the local church? They say, when did you start attending the church? They say, when I was born. I was like, interesting. Do you understand? That is my family church. Hey, you get family church. Is there anything called family church? What is your pastor's community? So that is the church I started going to from small. So what's happening now? I'm listening to my church, it's my family church, so I have other things I listen to. You're confused. Hallelujah. You must be deliberate. You are not saying my choice of a local church is because that is my family church. Hallelujah. This is the church I attend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he wasn't able to stand by it. Is there anything wrong with having a church where you were brought up and you want to continue there? Nothing is wrong. Hallelujah. But to say my reason for my local church because my family church, that's where my parents gave birth to, that's why I'm continuing there. You are not yet serious for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. That's why they did it, because that's why they gave birth to me. So I can't change because that's why they gave birth to me. I like the word though, but you're not ready for spiritual growth. I hope you understand where I'm going to. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a family church where you are brought up. You can be brought up in a place, hallelujah, and you go and you are convinced, hallelujah, glory to God, to remain there. Amen. But hiding under the umbrella like that is because of it's my family church. No, that's wrong. Glory to God. So you must have a local church. Some people, their own road is everywhere in the body of Christ. It's wrong. Never committed to a local church. Some people say, my own role is to be a bit in the body of Christ. You must have a local church you are accountable to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? There's nothing like this is my role in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, you are put in the local church. Are you hearing me? No, you are not jumping from one place to another. You are put in the local church for spiritual growth. Anybody you see that has this kind of mindset, oh man, I go from one place to another, I just learn everything. I learn from this, learn from that, so that I can grow up fast. That person never grows. I am. Never grows. People who aren't responsible in the local church aren't growing. They aren't growing. At the right time, you begin to see that. Hallelujah. So it can never be achieved. Growth can never be found outside the local church. Hallelujah. It is never done in isolation. You see, one mistake people make is that I don't want to go out. The churches are this, the churches are that. I just want to learn no God on my own. You can never have spiritual growth. You can never. Hallelujah. You will never. Glory to God. So therefore, the duty of the local church is to bring those. So it's never done, discipleship is never done in isolation, and spiritual growth in isolation. So therefore, what is the role of the local church? It's to bring those whom have been won. You bring them together. I said it yesterday. You bring them together to be in a local church for spiritual growth. So when you have people you are following up on, the most important thing is that you introduce them to your local church. Higher than this, they must be part of your local church. That is why they are disciples. Are you following me? Glory to God. They must be part of your local church. You are following them up. You are discipling them, but you will bring them to the local church. Hallelujah. Don't disciple them in isolation. And say, I want them to grow individually. No. Spiritual growth is found together. Are you following me? Glory to God. I saw all that yesterday. So Jesus was deliberate about teaching. And was strong on it. He was deliberate in teaching and was strong on it. Hallelujah. The same with the apostles. Sometimes you can get rejected by the men you are sent to, but that must not stop you from being strong on teaching. Hallelujah. You can get rejected by men you are sent to, but that doesn't stop you from being strong in teaching. Jesus in Luke 24 at the resurrection deliberately taught for 40 days. Is it wrong? He taught for 40 days. And in teaching, His Bible is what we have as Genesis to Malachi. Moses, I told us last week that the Genesis to Malachi is called Moses and the Prophets. We call it the Prophets. The book of the Prophets. Hallelujah. Moses and all the Prophets. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Apostles in Acts 5. Acts of Apostles chapter 5. Look at verse 42. The Bible says, and daily in the temple
And in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They were deliberate, daily. We saw Paul yesterday in Corinth, in Acts 18, in Corinth. He taught for 1 year, 6 months, Acts of Apostles chapter 18, from verse 12. 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God amongst them. He taught them for 1 year, 6 months, what we call 18 months. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even when he was rejected. Remember, he was rejected. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And when they opposed him, you see that? In verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. In verse 6, and they opposed him and blasphemed. He shook his garment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your head. I am clean from now on. I will go to the Gentiles." I heard it. And verse 11, and he continued there. He was in the same city, and he went and he continued preaching. I promise you, most times, you might just reject it. But the fact that you are rejected doesn't mean you are going to stop the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So even if the man you ought to be ministering to rejects you, there's no reason to abandon the work. There's no reason to abandon the work. Hallelujah. I remember years back in ministry, when we just started ministry, not too long after we started. Hallelujah. I gave a side of a story yesterday for those who are around. Hallelujah. So, then, while we were having, when we just started, I usually do jelly coy. Hallelujah. I usually do jelly coy. And, you know, do jelly coy, do something, and then I mean that in a certain way. And there was rumor around the base that I was using a jam. Not along that way. Hallelujah. There was rumor everywhere. That guy is being that if you allow your children to go and meet him, if you allow people to come and meet him, he will spoil your children. Hallelujah. So people went as far as saying it in their churches that they should be careful of it. I heard of some, two churches that I know of, and I didn't have that way. But you know, where there was that issue was where one of the people that I was ministering to. Hallelujah. Now started carrying his own conspiracy theory. I'm serious. I'm telling people things that he's telling us, he's telling his sisters are waiting for us. He's not saved by mutation, how to put on what we don't see. You know, all those kind of thoughts, and became so fierce. Hallelujah. I've been getting caught in my hair. I'm doing relaxer. I'm doing this. This is someone that I'm teaching. Glory to God. So they now formed a clique in church. And I didn't know. So after I'm done teaching them, they will meet and be deciding matter. Glory to God. And that was why, you see, those are the reasons why I became very strong in discipleship. I hear you. Those were the reasons why I began to do follow-up every day to know what is happening in the meeting. Hallelujah. When I got to know of it, they have almost converted all the brethren. See, all our members, We're now two or three are gathered. It's not a joke. People that I teach them very well. Then I used to buy kunu at the end of the service. My money was not working. We're done teaching the word, sharing the word with our own, and share kunu for years. That was not enough. So I discovered that the kunu is not actually the bait.
I need to trust the power of God now. Hallelujah. Because now I became two or three. I became strong on discipleship, preaching more. Because, you know, those things, and before that, before I started the work, I have heard a lot of discouraging news from different people. Yeah, discouraging news. People that were, because when they heard that I want to start up the work, to bring up the people I'm doing follow-up for 1 month, I was doing follow-up for like three people. I want to bring them together and then get other people and then start up ministry. There were a lot of people that said a whole lot of things to me. They were like, ah, we know this person that started something like this. After a while, he went off. This person started something like this. After a while, he went off. This one, maybe this barrack. Yeah. They were saying a lot of things. Winches and wizards. This is it. I was not scared of it. Hallelujah. My eyes was on the ball. The work of God. Hallelujah. So when this thing began to happen, I began to look back. Like, ah, this person said this to me. And I said, no. He who has called me is faithful. Hallelujah. He who has called me is faithful. I didn't call myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God I didn't keep. I didn't give up. Thank God I didn't give up. Won't be here 16 years after. Hallelujah. Won't be here 16 years after. By next month, it will be 16 years after. Won't be here. Keep still doing the same thing. Still doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 16 years after, we're still here. So, you might be rejected. Hallelujah. You see, it can also go down to the people, you know, you might be rejected. Maybe in the work you are starting up in school, around your area, you might feel people are saying things wrong. But you know, he who has called you is faithful. That's where your eyes should be on. Hallelujah. That's where your eyes should be on. He who has called me is faithful. Glory to God. So there is no reason, see, no believer has any reason to abandon the work. No believer has any reason to abandon the work. No believer. See, I want to take it one step further. No believer has any reason to be inactive. You have no reason to be inactive. You have no reason. No believer has a reason to be inactive. So, hallelujah. No, you know. Hallelujah. So when you are rejected, you move ahead to others. You do what? You move ahead to others. Look at Acts 5, so we just read now. Acts 5, look at verse 41. Look at what happened to the disciples. Now you know what I mean. Acts 5, 41. He says, so they departed from the front of the council. Now verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called their forces, and did what to them? And did what? Beating them. So they flogged them. They had beaten them. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they flogged them and told them, if you hear peep, Jesus again, you are gone. But look at what they did. They rejoiced in verse 41. Verse 42, what did we find them do? They continued preaching Jesus as the Christ. You see that? Can you see that? Glory to God. No reason to be inactive. No reason to be inactive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They still went ahead ministering the gospel of Christ. In Acts 19, verse 10. Acts 19. Look at verse 10. After this, this is Paul. He taught those 12 people in Ephesus. In verse 10, and he continued them for 2 years. Did you see that? Remember in verse 9, people spoke bad, so he took his disciples to a school of Tyrus, and then he continued 2 years, so that those who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So he taught for 2 years stretch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in chapter 20, he came back towards Ephesus. Look at verse 17.
And for ministers, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So those people he taught in chapter 19 that were 12 are now elders. Elders means leaders in the church at Ephesus. Showing you that spiritual growth has taken place. Did you see that? What is spiritual growth? They are now leaders. They are now responsible for lives. Can you see that? Hallelujah. They are now leaders. They are now raising other disciples. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I would say that is the end point of teaching. Hallelujah. That is the end point of teaching. That will grow spiritually. So we keep teaching and we are growing. Every time we have taught the word of God, we are better. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Every time we have taught the word of God, we are better. Every time we gather to talk the word of God, we are better. Even if it is something you know, you are better. Hallelujah. Remember I told us yesterday that when you should watch it when you begin to have itching ears for repetition, right? Watch it. That is a sign of backsliding. Itching ears can also mean you are in church and pastor say Matthew 28 because you read Matthew 28 every day, you don't open it. You know, why are you having itching ears? Because even I myself, when I get to study, I said that yesterday, when I get to study and I want to write Matthew 28, I don't just write it. No, I open it, I read it. I read it. Even till last night, I opened it and I read it. Hallelujah. I opened it, I'll read it. Glory to God. Even as I read this morning, I opened it and I read it. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Glory to God. So you watch it. You do what? You watch it. Amen. 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 And in verse 20 of that, Acts 20:20, we saw that Paul was deliberately teaching them. And he taught them intensely. Both publicly and from house to house. Therefore, what we said yesterday is teaching is level. And a teacher must carefully be able to teach truths, teach across scriptures from Genesis. A Bible student must be able to carefully teach across scriptures from Genesis. Which we said Jesus did in Luke 24, in verse 27. Luke 24, verse 27. Look at how Luke will put it. Luke 24, verse 27. Luke will say, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them, in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Luke makes us see that Jesus expounded. That is the word diamenio, a word used for interpretation, right? Hallelujah. A word used for interpretation. How one would interpret a language. Hallelujah. How one would interpret a language. Also, telling us that Jesus had to interpret the language of the prophet. He had to interpret the language of the prophet. And today, every Bible teacher, every Bible student is confronted with the same task. We get to see that too. Hallelujah. It's confronted with the same task. So, we are taking it off from where we saw a understanding the gospel, right? So, we are building blocks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we said the reason for this. The reason for interpretation, right? To interpret the language is because when the writers wrote, they were writing to their immediate audience. They didn't write to you directly, right? They were writing to an immediate audience. There's something I seek to do, but I'm trying to see how I can package it and start today. Why did the apostles write? Do you understand me? Why did they write? It's something very critical I would need to see. Hallelujah. So they will write to their immediate audience, right? They didn't know that Moses didn't know that you are going to read it today, over 5,000 years after. He didn't know that you're going to read it. I follow you. When Paul was writing, he didn't know that you were going to read it today. He was writing to his audience, right? But thanks be to God. The Spirit of God knew that he will read it today. Hallelujah. So he made them write. Glory to God. I follow you. He knew that we will read it today. And he made them write. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, they will write in the language of their day. Are you hearing? Hallelujah. They will write in the language of their day. They will write what their audience can relate with. They will write what their audience can relate with. So therefore, we said a Bible student must, one, take the seat of the first audience when they heard the word and hear what they heard. A Bible student must take that seat of the first audience when they heard the word and they must hear what they heard. Hallelujah. This is a very vital point in your Bible study. You must take that seat and hear what they hear. Hallelujah.
Glory to
God. Hear what they hear. Understand also, in taking that first seat, two, you must understand that the language of scriptures is not my language today. Hallelujah. And what is not my language today, you must understand it well. Scriptures, Old Testament books was written in Hebrew. The New Testament book written in where? Written in Greek. Right? Right? Uh-huh. So even within the Hebrew context, there were a lot of modifications. Hallelujah. I follow you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. A lot of modifications. For example, the use of the word visiting within the Old Testament, visiting, where Paul or Moses will say visiting the iniquities of the fathers. Moses will use the word visiting pakah as a word. Like as you visit for good, right? Right? For forgiveness of sin. As they're visiting the iniquities of the Father upon the Father, meaning will forgive. But when other writers will write using the word paka, it will be used for what punishment. It's the same Hebrew, but you see, you've had modifications in language. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Even in English, words that you used years before, that some of them, if you use it today, what it meant then is not what it meant now. Glory to God. Even words in English that we use. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you have to understand the language. So an interpreter of scripture will now have to, that's why, if you have to read Moses' writing, if you have to read Moses, if you look at it, something I will yet show you, maybe when we begin to get into the end of the year, remember I said it's a building block. It is called that. It's, for those people who use concordance, it is wrong to generalize the word. It's something I will yet show. Hallelujah. You don't generalize the word. We looked at the word yesterday. What is that word that we looked at yesterday? And I told you it has multiplicity of what? Applications. Right? I told us yesterday. So you don't just look at one and say, yes, this is what it is. No, you have to look at it well. Hallelujah. Let me give us that word. That is the word of a second. No, not God. Rebuke on a diesel. On a diesel. I say it has multiplicity of applications. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you cannot just say because the word on a diesel, a word for rebuke, means to throw tongues at people, right? Does not that mean that when you now hear that Jesus in Matthew 11, he says Jesus upbraided the city. He rebuked the city. In Mark 16:14, says he rebuked them for their what? For, because of the hardness of their heart, right? He rebuked them because of the hardness of their heart, for they did not believe those who told them that he was arisen. He rebuked them. You just see that he just want to say, you, no good better for you. Because that word rebuke, on a diesel is used for insult. Are you following? So you cannot just apply it everywhere like that. So what will I now do? I'll now look at context. Right? How does Jesus use a word? You have to look at it that way. Hallelujah. So when you hear Jesus rebuke them or he upbraided the city, that same word is now used in James 4. I mean, now used in James 4, God is not partial, and he used the word on it that he upbraided not. Are you following me? It's the same word. So as a Bible student, I do not generalize. Some people who use Vine Bible, use Vine Concordance, don't jump to Vine and carry. No. Hallelujah. You have to look at how words are used in context. First. Hallelujah. I was sorry. That when Jesus used the word upbraided, rebuke, in Mark 16 and Matthew 11 is used for what? What he did. For Mark 16, that word rebuke is a shorthand for what he did in the 40 days he taught. We saw in Matthew 11, when he said he upbraided the city, we saw what he did. He taught them from where Jonah, he taught them through the scriptures. Hallelujah. So it will be used also for teaching. Glory to God. So you cannot have a general application to a word. That's to read where? In context. Hallelujah. Can you see why it's called, why Paul would tell Timothy, carefully, right? Carefully, rightly dividing the words of truth. So you must be careful. You must be careful. You must cut right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. So, I was concerned that the language of scripture is not my language. So even the language that Moses used, when we look at Nehemiah had to do interpretation. It's the same Hebrew. Are you following me? But because they've gone into captivity, right? So there's already a mixture, right? So he will have to do a what? He will have to do an interpretation of language. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to God. Amen. Let's see that. Open to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8, verse 8. It says, so in Nehemiah 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God. Is that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Hallelujah. Because that was what they have as scriptures. Moses is writing. And they gave sense and helped them to understand the reading. What it means they gave sense, it means they gave interpretation. Do you understand? They gave interpretation. An interpretation will have to also include what? The same language. The same language, are you following me? They give sense. You can see that. Hallelujah. So, knowing this, that the language of scripture is not my language today. My language today is English. Old and New Testament, there was no English there. And what we have translated that we are reading today, we said yesterday, is an interpretation too. Hallelujah. It's an interpretation also. An interpretation also. So the, and also, we have seen the fact that language has evolved over the years, but the truth of the oracles of God never evolved. God's truth is God's truth. Hallelujah. So man's language has evolved, but God's truth is God's truth. Glory to God. God's truth is God's truth. Therefore, I will have, as a Bible student, I'm also an interpreter. Are you following me? As a Bible student, I'm an interpreter of scriptures too. So I must also see that what is translated is an interpretation. And when words are translated many a time, they lose their import. The import, the weight of the word, most times is lost when translated. When translated. So therefore, I would have to go back and do what? And reread again. And reread again. Just like Jesus. You know, the prophets were written in Hebrew. Right? So, in the days of Jesus, they had what they call the Septuagint. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Right, Olenu? The Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. So they had that. So Jesus had their Septuagint with him. But yet, the Bible says he would. Yet he would still go back to the original to explain some words, because some words will lose its what import at the point of translation. Hallelujah! I will look at one yesterday. Right? Let me just take us through that what we looked at yesterday. Is the word redeemed? Right? I'll just run through it. Is the word redeemed? Which is in the Hebrew, which in the Hebrew doesn't involve to pay anything. The word redeemed in the Hebrew doesn't involve you paying anything. No, it doesn't. Hallelujah. But rather, the word redeemed, which is the word gal in Hebrew, means the act of a kinsman, a next of kin, one who stands in place, oniduro, a guarantor. Are you hearing me? One who stands in place for another. Are you hearing me? That's the word God, redeem, or redeemer, one who stands in place. But when that word is translated in Greek, because in the Greek, they couldn't find an exact word. There was no exact word to translate, or there was no exact word for the word kinsman in the Greek. Jonathan, there was no exact word for the word kinsman or a guarantor in the Greek. So, what would they now do? What will they now do? Hallelujah. Remember, the word guarantor, oniduro, the word next of kin, the word kinsman, is to show value. Right? So, you now find the fact that God, because of the fact that God has entered into a treaty with Abraham, he comes into Egypt as a guarantor. And what does he do? He rescued the children of Israel to show that he valued what his covenant with Abraham. Are you following me? Are you following me? To show that he valued that covenant. So he steps into Egypt and then he delivers his people. Right? Right? It shows that did God do pay anything to Pharaoh? No. But when that word, because that word is to show value, and when you were to translate
Now that is the work of an interpreter. He now loses that. Most times you can't find that word in your contemporary world. Hallelujah. So what do you do? You go back, look at what that thing shows, and look at what it shows in your world, so you can now do what I call a translation. Are you following me? So that it becomes relevant also in your world. For example, also, I'm still coming back to Kingsman Redeemer. For example, I told us we attended Pastor Shebu's birthday, and they were just doing like more like a game, but that was an eye opener. Hallelujah! To me, it was an eye opener. The most time I talked down, this interpreter. There was a year I said interpreters were philosophers. They did, most of them were not saved. Okay, me that I'm saved. Just to come and interpret a word from English to Yoruba or Hebrew, we're all stopped. We couldn't even do it. We were saying nonsense, ingredients, everything together. Hallelujah! And that day, I paused. You see, it was fun, but today I paused. I was like, this is a bit that I don't need to be tried. So, I take back whatever I'm saying concerning translator, because it's serious work. Work! They have also translate baptism of the Holy Ghost. First of all, in Yoruba. If you have to write now, they say, yes now, because very Zulu get there too. In fact, the part of what I will say last. Hallelujah. Just to translate. Somebody, you see people who can speak Yoruba, but everybody was quiet at first. Even if it's that time to do for a word in Igbo. Hallelujah. They started from charismatic ministry. What is charismatic ministry in your dialect? Let's say you have to write a book, or you have to translate the book, charismatic ministry. How would you translate it in your dialect? Hallelujah! But that is the job the translator was facing. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Yours is just one word. Imagine the whole 39 books. They have to do it. Amen. Are you following me? They have to do it. So people, somebody now translated what about, baptism of the Holy Ghost. They now call the way it translated it, I'm not able to say it because I'm not Yoruba speaking, but the way it translated it was water baptism, not added anymore. So I made something of the not added the spirit. You understand? Because they couldn't find the word for baptism alone in the Yoruba language. So what they have in the Yoruba language is water baptism. Are you following me? Shame you can see. But they couldn't find a word alone for baptism. So the way you know that will not be water baptism spirit, something like that, in the spirit, something like that. So, you know, in your audience today, they might, we understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But give that word you have just translated, give it another 20 years. The next generation that will meet that your work, that your translation might now start saying there's no difference between Holy Ghost baptism and water baptism. Because of how you have translated it. Right? And now imagine there was a young rascal like me then. And I say, this person does not have the Holy Ghost to call Holy Ghost baptism, water baptism, Holy Ghost. You know that? But they will not know the kind of work you have to do today. Maybe in the next 20 years, they will now find the word for for baptism of the Holy Ghost freely in that dialect. But now you can't have it. I don't know if you understand. So because of the immediate audience, you now use what was available, which is water baptism, Jonathan, and they understood what you are saying, that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost now. But in the next 10, 20, 30 years, it might not suffice again because it has translated and language has been upgraded. Are you following? So can you now see, just that I am doing an interpretation now from baptism of the Holy Ghost, I have lost the import of the word by adding water because of the word language barrier to me.
Can you now see? So most times, if you are not going to study my life, I will look at it, then I will have to go back again, right? To see what the import of the word originally was before it became the way it is now. Hallelujah. So a Bible student is confronted with that type of interpretation. Hallelujah. So now think that it was one person that translated the whole, it's called Septuagint. You know why it's called Septuagint? Which is the Hebrew Bible in Greek. Eh? It was done by 70 people. No one person interprets. Interpretation is done by a group of people. Are you following? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, here, NIV translation. I think it's one person that's NIV. It's all by people. Are you following me? Because if you go out by one person, you will pass across your sentiments into it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you now ask me, because as an evil man, like baptism of the Holy Ghost, I thought of what? Baptism. That means I have to live without baptism, but there's no more for baptism. Do you get it? But he reminded me of something I used to say. You know, if I say it and he gets, he will understand. But in the next 10 years, they will slap me for saying that. Do you understand? Just think of it. And you say, entering into the Spirit is baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you can say it like that, because that is what you are trying to explain. Do you understand me? But yet to call on, you look at it and say, this one does not know, but he didn't know that you are confronted with a serious task. Amen. Amen. So the interpretation is tax. So when you have to keep your Bible, and before you open your mouth to yab at a translation like I used to do, I suppose that you guys are wrong with your friends. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes you can have a text, just a verse, and you carry that verse, try to look for the interpretation, the translation for months. You don't know. Glory to God. And you know what? The interpretation was done by them. Pastor Shelby gave us an example that they went for an interpreter's forum where they interpret scripture. You know, people were, oh, this, that, no, this, not this, no. So somebody now that was answering the business said, everybody keep quiet. Let's open the Bible. Open. Now, they opened where they wanted to do. Everybody keep quiet, everybody kept quiet. So nobody understood what the guy was trying to do. Everybody was just quiet. No, some people were, what is he trying to do? The why not? Did you hear anything? Nobody heard? He said, you know why? Because scriptures cannot interpret, cannot speak of its own. I want to use it the right way. Men are the ones to read that interpret. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So interpretation is not done by one person or group of people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go back to where I was coming from. So now, on translating the word God, which is the word kinsman, next of kin, to show value, they couldn't get such word in the Greek. So the Greek man used the word apolotrosis, lutrosis, lutron, apolutron. These are all different shades of the word redeem, redemption. You understand? And those words, listen, those words are used in how you get something by paying a price. Just like in a marketplace, lutrosis, how you buy a slave with money. You understand? Lutrosis. Are you following me? So to show value. Are you following what I'm saying? Eh? Because in their world, what you pay for, in their world, which was the in their present world, what you pay for is what you value. So that money I'm giving to get that thing, to get that thing, shows this is the value I am placing on this thing I want to buy. So that was the closest word. Those are the closest words. Eh? Those are the closest words you have to the word gal. Because gal is to show value. This shows value. Do you get it? So they now say, okay, let's bring it in. Do you understand me? That is translation. Hallelujah. It shows value. So they now use the same word they use for how they buy things for redeem. In their word, they understand. But today, some people are messing that word up. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people are using it like, now, you imagine when Jesus said, listen, also something you need to see. I said it yesterday. When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven can be likened unto a man who saw a field of land, a land that has what? Treasure. What did he say the man did? He said the man went back, sold all he had, and came to purchase the field. Do you know that? Now, imagine that you translate, okay, you are now reading that parable, and I say, hey, you just want to sell all this property. That guy's property now came to pay. That property that he paid, that now, the treasure are those who will be saved. You are giving your own the Miami translation. It's those that want to be saved. Then you are not wrong. So, who is the man he paid it to? Did you get? And what did he pay? The man will say, yeah, he gave his blood to the man. Who is the man? You see, people now be quiet. Hallelujah. But what Jesus gave you that parable for was to show you value. Are you following me? That what was in the land is valuable, so I sold my valuables, all that I have, my valuables, so to show that I am placing value on that land. Not to show that I went to sell, that was why he became poor, that choose poverty. No! That's not what we say, we are jealous believers. When you come down to say this, you read this thing you are saying anyhow, you'll be humble. I'm talking from experience. Hallelujah. Talking from fear of the same. Just come down, we read again. Oh yeah, read it again. You know, okay, calm down. Read it again. Say, ooh. Hey. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have to look at it. So it's to show value. So some people now, when people now hear the word redeem, when you redeem, what comes to their mind is redeem. So Jesus paid the price. Who did Jesus give the price to? Some people say Satan. I said no, can't be Satan. Jesus can't pay the price to Satan. But I said, but no, I'm giving you some argument. No. You remember when we were in darkness? He brought us out to light. So that means he took us from the hold of Satan. Then, he did not pay Satan money. What did he give to Satan? His blood? No, he can't give Satan blood. Because he dealt with Satan. So, what did he now pay? Who did he pay to? Is he God? So, it is God. So that means God held us in bondage. And now he came and sent his son to come and redeem us and pay. You know, how does it make sense? Hallelujah. So white students like us that went to the University of Nigeria, ASFS, but I said, okay, no need to worry yourself. He paid it as a demand of justice. Then we go to, so what is justice? I don't want to know. Just justice. Let's just go. You are just a lazy pastor. I'm calling myself. Read it again. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Just read it again. Read it well. And you discover that, hey, it was just because, why do I not have that notion? Or why do people have that notion today? Because of that word, right? Right? And years have gone by. But the immediate audience understood it was for value. But today, I'm not reading it in my today's world. That would be wrong. Are you hearing me?
I'm not supposed to read it in my today's world. If you open a vine concordance, now this is where I want to deal with some people. If you open a concordance, those people use vine concordance, and you type leutrosis, apolutrosis, what you would get will be what you pay, a ransom paid to get something. Now that is what people are missing, because they go to where vine concordance to get meaning. But a word, that is not the meaning of the word. The meaning of the word is found in context. Are you following me? So you read your Bible. Glory to God. So picking up vine God and all those other is laziness. Just get the definition. This is the definition. Come on, be true not to amber. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is lamba? It's a Greek word for lambano. Hallelujah. Come on. You giving up. So you have to now. Are you following me? So that means every word you find in the four gospels in the epistles, where is their dictionary? Their dictionary is the Tatnai books. Are you hearing me? Their dictionary is where? So when I look at the world, I have to go back to certain angles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I was hoping to show something in Hebrews 12, but I will not do that today. Another word that you find in the Greek, but because there was no Greek word for that word scourge in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word. There was no Greek word. So the Hebrew word is called. So people now mean that the Holy Spirit used to carry koboko. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So those are things that, and when you open concordance, you see scourge, that's what they flow with. I said, hey! You are missing. You go to where the word was used originally. Remember we said the four gospels and the epistles are explanation of those words. So they explain those words to their audience using their audience's language that they can understand. You understand? So when I see those words, I know it's explained so that I see those words, I go back to the original. Where's the original Hebrew? Hallelujah. And I look at the Hebrew text. Oh, this is what it means. Then you bring it back. Oh, that was what he was translating there. Are you following me? So that means today I have double tasks in doing interpreting. Because one, my role is to see the explanation, right, in the four gospels and the epistles. Come on, I'm running to the end of my teaching. Four gospels and the epistles. Then now go back, look at how it is used, and then break it to my wall. Are you following me? So I have something I'm doing. It's now two layers. No, it's now three layers. This is the original. This is the explanation. This is my world. Right? So what I'm doing is that I'm is looking at the interpretation of the original here. Right? Now because of language barrier, I need to cross it from here to my wall. So what will I do? I'll still go back. Look at how it was in the original. See the explanation. So with this explanation, so that I don't miss words as I'm taking it to my wall, right? So I look at the explanation, okay, look at how it was written in the original, then I will now break it into my own world, in the language that will be understood in my today world. Are you hearing me? That is the work of the Bible student. Glory to God. That's the work of the Bible student. Amen. Amen. So let's continue. Number three. In taking the seat of the false audience, I must understand their culture. You know, I'm looking at their menu. How to interpret scriptures. I must do what? Understand their culture. Culture means the way they live. Hallelujah, their culture. And what we picked out yesterday was how words are used and why they are used. Hallelujah. How words are used and why they are used. Quickly, we saw that they use most of parables, figure of speech, right? Because speech reduce at the base of their communication. When I mean base, not responsive. The minute part, the minute part of their communication, right? That is what they understood. They use it more often because they were, and also because they were agrarians by occupations. By occupation, many they have, they are into agriculture, right? This will be reflected in that their base communication. So the parables, the riddles will be related to what? Land, seeds, because they were, you know, what is used, what is common in their world, right? So in my world today, that is more going, that is becoming a global village, digital. If Moses was to be in my today world, he would not use seed. No. Hallelujah. He will not use seed. He might use data. Are you following this? He might use data. He might use computer world. Do you understand me? Because we are in a computer age. So in their age, they were more of agrarians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like for example, if I'm to write a book called The Barrack Life or The Big Life, and my audience is people in that big, it was big. You know, the way I will communicate, somebody that says in no should, you will not be able to understand because of my audience. That is our culture. You understand? When I write, and I write Makajia, you say, what is Makajia? What is that word? Right? And Makajia. What is that? Even if they are asking me, I don't know the word Makajia. I wonder how that name came about. The century and how it came. Hallelujah. But I was born to know that name, Makajia. A woman leader. Jennifer, Makajia. And somebody who should be saying, Mark, what? What's that? But if you have to understand it, you have to understand the culture of the day. Right? That is the Makajia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or I write that I say, and they went to the mess. You know, somebody who doesn't know what is called mess. Mess. Is it a place where they go to police? Yeah. It's because that is, because you don't understand the culture. The mess is like a recreation center for military men. Are you following me? Or might I say, I'm going to White Corner. If you don't know what is White Corner, it means you don't know anything. I'm only trying to tell you in essence that I'm going to drink. Say you know, I'm going to White, or I'm going to Pink Toes. Even though that I'm Barack, I'm in Barack, you know that, because this is big. You know that? I'm going to Pink Toes. I want to go and buy cocoa. Cocoa? Right? Why? Because these are base language. Glory to God. I want to eat yatabi. You want to do what? But I'm just saying, I want to say something. Say you understand. So you have to come understand how things are done. Glory to God. Or you say, I'm being fatigued. You say, are you weak? What is wrong? I'm being fatigued. Right? We have to be in the vision, know that fatigue is whatever I mean. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So do the things you have to. You have to understand the culture. Hallelujah. So I would say the reason for the way Moses will write to them as a prophet, which is using parables, figures of speech, and riddles, was forced because of unbelief, right? Right? But I now said something, I brought in something yesterday. Who can remember what I said? I said, is it that every time they spoke to them in parables, was it because of unbelief? Did I give the answer yesterday? What did I say? No? Somebody give me that, I didn't say that. What did I say? I said something about the sun, but that was not what I said. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were unbelieving for you to pass it across that way, right? But majorly, why they had parables, regions, was because of unbelief. Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, first thing God won't believe, and also to bring the gospel to their common understanding. I love this verse, right? To their common understanding. So, a Bible student must be able to relate the gospel in the base language of any culture. You see that? Without losing its meaning. Be able to relate the gospel in the base language. Be able to preach the gospel in vernacular. You are going to preach in a somewhere that will shoot. When you know that the person does not give me, you know, somebody that goes to school, they know the law says, you know, when you are not using big grammar, those who went to GCI, the Janiki, you know, big grammar, forget. This is what they see, bros. And that's why he comes by. And then you must let. Absolutely! If you cannot preach the gospel in vernacular, then you should be formed. For that is the base of your language. Hallelujah! Glory to God. You must be able to do it. You must be able to do it. Very well. Some people, you have to say the gospel and to speak vernacular, you are not ashamed for what you say, speak at home. You should be strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. So you know, say Jesus. The Bible talks, the power, this gospel is saying like this, now God power. If God wants to rescue man, now the Bible. Higher or now with the gospel. And when it is the gospel, God himself becomes man. As if you are not trying to look for the world. Higher me. See, really? You must be able to communicate. You must. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But have a whole lot. Let's go ahead. Let's learn the fact. So the parables, we said these parables, figure of speech, prefigurings, were told as God's story. Right? We saw that yesterday, they were told as God's story, God's intervention, solving patent issues in their world. Right? Solving patent issues in their world. I will solve some of it, which we'll later see more today. So, modern audience was different from the audience of the prophets. We said that too, right? Right? Hallelujah. So we're looking at number four. Jesus said number four. Modern audience was different from the audience of the prophets. Though, they were all still unbelieving. Right? We saw that yesterday, right? Yet, in the same it is the same message of God told by Moses, that was what was ministered to them by the prophet. So what did the prophet do? The prophet found what we called identification unifier. He unifies the audience together. Inasmuch as they were not in the same timing, but yet they were unified by the same activity. That is, they were not believing, right? Stiffness. We saw those scriptures yesterday, right? Right? For those of you who were not around yesterday, we saw the scriptures. 2 Kings 17:14, 2 Chronicles 38, Nehemiah 9:29, and other scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have the identification unified. So I would say Jesus did the same thing. We said Jesus did the same thing. Paul's audience in Corinth were believers. Right? Paul's audience in Corinth was believers. Were believers. Remember. Now, let me just say this. Okay, no, let's go ahead. We will look at that on Saturday. So, Paul's audience in Corinth were believers.
Moses' audience were unbelievers, right? Or let me not say all, because we have Joshua, right? So 99% of Moses' audience didn't believe. So, but Paul had to unify his audience with Moses' audience and offer the same gospel which Moses preached to his audience, to his own audience. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have it like this in my notes. Paul had to unify his audience by conduct with Moses' audience. Hallelujah. And offer the gospel, which is God's story, God's solution to them. Remember, we said Moses' audience were unbelieving, Paul's audience were believers. And we said, walking in the flesh will make a man behave like as though he's without the Spirit of God. He's a mere man, right? Paul called them, they were mere men by conduct. Or rather, they acted, not they were, that was too direct, that is direct. They acted as mere men in conduct. They were carnal in conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul has, by that statement, Paul has unified the audience with that of Moses. Right? Because they are acting alike. Though this one's a believer, this one's an unbeliever, but it's the same solution to the word of God. Are you hearing me? The same message that Moses preached. There's something we need to say. Hallelujah. So something not to lose sight of. And that is where we are. This is an addition to where we stopped yesterday. Something not to lose sight of is number five. When having a careful study of scripture, you have to pay attention to their immediate world. To their what? Immediate world. Or put the background of what was said. You must pay attention to the background of what was said. And the background now goes beyond. Okay, let me see if I do that. Okay, yeah, I have it. So the background of study is vital. In looking at the background, you pay attention to the audience, as you have been seeing, right? Pay attention to the audience, what they have done wrong, who are they, right? Is that what we'll be looking at? We all believing they had strife, they had this, right? They had strife, like in Corinth, they were having divisions. Yeah, good background. But you know, more so, this time you are going deeper. You are paying attention to what was prevalent in their world. What was prevalent in their world? That is, the I call it social economic state of their world. Their social economic state. Their social life. The social life of their world. The social life of that environment. I remember, if I'm to write about the base, the social economic activities of the base is different from that of Banana Island. Right? Very far. Hallelujah. A lot of people in Banana Island, there will be no vernacular. But it must be Queen's English. Because, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If I'm not giving the date, I'll be very like AOC. Right? Right? Sasu. Right? Right? Beast Commander. RSM. Are you hearing me? Yes, it's like third provost. I hear some people are talking about that. What's the third provost? Where's the first one? Hallelujah. So pay attention to their wall. What was happening in that immediate world? Hallelujah. So this will help you a lot in your reading. It will help you a lot in your reading. Especially in your reading Moses. Because of his environment.
he will allow some things, especially the religious, because of the environment, the social, economic state, what was prevalent in their world. There were some things he will allow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Matthew 19, Matthew 19, from verse 4, it says, "And he answered and said to them, Have you not read?" Now they came to meet him and asked him in verse 3, "Can a man put away his wife, divorce his wife for any cause, any reason?" And Jesus said, "Have you not read? He that made them from the beginning made them male and female. And he said, For this reason shall a man leave father and mother and join to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, for God has joined together, let no man separate, put asunder." Verse 7. And they said to him, "Why then did Moses command us to give a certificate and divorce and put her away?" And Jesus said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so." Now, remember we always read this, that Moses, you say because of their unbelief, the audience, right? But it also creeps into their world. So Jesus has just identified Moses' world was an unbelieving world. Right? Now when you use the word hardness, it's something, let me read from my notes so that, why I want to read from my notes is so that it has been arranged well. Hallelujah. That I'm reading from my notes, not what I've been studying. Hallelujah. Because my notes helped my theology. This is step by step. Hallelujah. I don't follow my notes, we will only be from next verse to 2 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because they have this scattered theology. So that's why it's good to write notes. Okay. It says, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart." So the question is, why did Moses tell us to put away our wives and give them the bill of divorce? And Jesus answered, shows us that Moses did that because of the hardness of their heart. Take note, they are not Moses' direct audience. He said Moses because of the hardness of your heart. But the people Jesus said your heart were not in Moses' day. So they were not Jesus' direct, and they were not Moses' direct audience. Right? Hallelujah. What Jesus has done was to unite them with Moses' audience. Hallelujah. And more so, not just them. Remember we said, when Jesus said that because of the hardness of the heart, it goes into their world. That word hardness means wickedness. Hallelujah. Not just unbelief, wickedness. Come on, this is God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Moses, so, very important, it goes beyond just saying unbelief. It goes deep into their world. Remember we said that Moses was confronted with an unbelieving people in an unbelieving world, in a wicked system. And yet he needs to pass across God's oracle, what God will do, right? To a world, or is yet going to pass across God's oracle, what God will do, a loving God, a God of love, to a wicked world. Are you following me? So, when Moses writes, he's writing to an immediate audience, but at the background of this audience that were unbelieving was an unbelieving, brutish world. Are you following me? Glory to God. And during our series on either understanding the gospel or revelation of God, we said it's wicked, I mean unbelief, deep, goes deep into the what, the root of man's culture. Hallelujah. Unbelief goes deep into the root of man's culture, man's relationship. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So Jesus will unite not just his audience with Moses' audience. He will unite their worlds together. We will unite the two worlds together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. And in Moses' world, they were a brutish world. Not British. A brutish world. Brutal world. A world where women were treated as chattels and disposed of when needed. When a man is done with a woman, I'm tired of you. He dispose her of, not just dispose her of, kills her, and the man is celebrated. That's the kind of war. The man is celebrated. So the man can have 20, 30 wives and kills all of them. So women were treated like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know what I heard someone say yesterday, right? Concerning women. Hallelujah. That God only made man, Adam. But made only Adam. Then when he saw that man was lonely, that God's initial plan was not for woman. Can you say that nonsense? Nonsense. It's because you read Adam in Genesis 1 as a man. He's actually referring to humanity. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful. When the man, if God saw that man was lonely, we're not talking about Adam as a person, as a name. We're talking about humanity was without God. That is the state of what man. That is the state of the world without Christ, without God. Hallelujah. He said, I will make him a helpmate. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And when he says man was without, I'll make him a helpmate, man was alone. You know, Moses was telling them this is God's oracle, right? But at the same time, he was telling them this is what is prevalent in your world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's just like when Mary said they are without wine. The way Jesus will read it is not they are without physical wine. Hallelujah. He will read it as man without God. Are you following? Glory to God. Are you following that?
Amen. So let us read. So they were treated as chattels, disposed of and killed when needed. Hallelujah.
Was this happening in Jesus' world too? Yes. Also, in Moses' world, when you if somebody offends you, you can kill the person. War. I didn't say war. Killing people was used as a basis of strength. I want to show you are strong. Eh? Let's fight. If I kill you, not fight as one who separate. If I kill you, I'm stronger than you. Then how would he know he's a loser? He's dead. That's the kind of world they live. You offend me, you steal from me, I can just take a gun and just attack you at night and kill you. That's a brutal world. Brutal world. Hallelujah. What a world. And it is called justice. You are praised for it. You kill people. Today, you know, they will say, it's a money ritual. Right? But then, you are celebrated. Imagine, so, I want you to take your mind down to Israel. Paul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. Paul killed 1,000. Today, they will say, Amnesty International will come for him. Right? Paul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. And Paul was angry. You killed just 1,000. You should be here. Thank God there's somebody sitting on you. Somebody will go to you. And I went, no. I did that. 10,000. So that is the kind of war. I'm thinking you see that we are about to sit, or we are sitting in that seat. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So let's go one step further. So what Jesus has done, and if you do, if you want to cast somebody away, everybody will pick stones. And this stoning people was a norm. Hallelujah. One said, hey, but you're off. Bah, he's dead. And I would say, God has done it for us. Can you see the world? Are you picturing that kind of world now?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So let's see something. So, was it happening also in Jesus' world? Yes. It was still happening. But not as it was in Moses' world, but it was still happening. Right? Didn't they pick stone and so forth? Glory to God. And he was taken for death. That is, he became lifeless. They have more passion.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So what Jesus did was Jesus called their world a hardened world. Everybody a defeated world. And this practice was also in Jesus' world, where women were treated as chattels. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember the woman that was brought to Jesus, that they say she was a harlot. Right? That was sleeping with different men. It was the woman that was brought. Where are the men that she slept with? Nobody saw them. Did you see that? And what were they about to do to the woman? They wanted to stone her dead. But he said, before we stone her, let's go and deal with that guy, that rascal. And they took the woman to Jesus. I believe it. And Jesus just, hallelujah. And had the anger to go. And he left. Glory to God. Are you following me? So people were condemned immediately. That was the kind of war. Hallelujah. So Jesus united them together in their world. Now pay attention to what Jesus said. He said, in that Mark 2:19, I need you to pay attention there. Most times we run through that Mark 2:19 without paying attention. Look at that verse 8. He says, Moses, because of your heart, permitted you. Now mark that word permitted. Moses permitted you. He says, to put away, to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. Mark that word. Moses permitted you, but from the beginning it wasn't so. Which is to show them that the beginning is man and woman in Christ. Do you see that? He said that in verse 4. He made them male and female. Genesis 1:26 and 7:28. Do you understand me? Eh? Man and woman will be found in Christ. Showing you that they are the same. That's what Jesus is pointing. That the man and the woman are the same. They are not, the woman is not a slave. That's what he's saying. The man is not a slave. Don't treat her as a slave. So that means in Genesis, what I will see in Genesis is God's plan. Right? What I will see in Genesis is what God expects. It's God's blueprint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What God does. Genesis paints God's perfect picture. God's perfect picture. God's perfect picture, not for you to put away. But Moses permitted you. Why would Moses do that? Why would Moses do that? Moses should just say, God says love, right? Right? Don't kill him. Those guys were angry guys. You know when anger rules you, I don't know what means anger, calm down, he say, if you don't get out of here, I will stand your ear. I mean, that's an angry guy. Imagine when imagine when those spies came back and Joshua and Caleb were about to talk. What did they do? And they carried stone. And they will finish you guys. They said, let's appoint, let's just leave on. Let's get out of here. Let's go back to Egypt. That's what they did. That's what they wanted to do. Hallelujah. Imagine Moses carrying 3 million people at the same time, more than. And they all, sometimes you just come out together and cry together, run together. You, pastor, everybody is like, God, what a congregation. And look at their wall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses will allow something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, but listen, Moses was the one that wrote Genesis. So in Genesis, what has he done? He has painted God's perfect picture. Right? Why? What has he painted? God's perfect picture. What does he call God to be? God is El Shaddai. He makes sense. He's the El Shaddai, right? El Shaddai. He's the one who provides, right? In Genesis, he made them see that man and woman were found in Christ. They are the same. No, you remember we call it intervention in their world, right? But now, yes, this is as now they will know this is God's perfect picture. This is where God, this is what God wants to be. Yeah, this is what God wants the world to be. This is what God wants man to be, right? This is where God wants man to be in Christ, together, in love. Then, he will also permit or will find some permissions. Does it mean Moses was contradicting himself? No. I want you to follow me. Rather, because of their world was a brutal world and women treated anyhow like chattels, Moses' permissiveness will come in as God's intervention. Do you understand? Imagine every other war, every other country is doing killings. This is, and you now say, no, we are not doing it. Huh? Yes, easy. You know that? Yeah. So, what Moses now say? Okay. Moses' permissiveness will be seen as God's intervention in their world. Let me put this is strong, but that is the truth. It will be seen as God's love. Do you agree with me? Let me show you something. Look up, everybody. Stop right here. Look up. I want to show you why it's God's love. It's not where God wants them to be, but at that point, it's God's love. A woman is married to a man and is treated like a slave. Like slave. So now, when a man is done, I'm tired of this woman. Tired. You just come and just kill her, and every other man will be clapping. Ha! Commando, warrior. You know that? Ha! God, defeat you. You know that? And he will be celebrated. But Moses stands aside and says, no. You don't like her? You are tired of her? Why kill her? Remember, there's God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan is what both of you are, you know, should be found in his image. Right? And when they hear image, what they know as image is what more sometimes is not how to teach you about image, right? So when you have the word image, what comes to mind? They were coming out from Egypt, so they know what an image is. Hallelujah. So image, you are the one looking, I'm a beautiful image. When they hear image, what comes to their mind is deity. Let us make man in our image, date. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you telling me? Can you see the world have changed? Right? So you have to go back and look at it. Well. In that year, they don't have any issue with let's make man in our image. See that, sir? Okay. You know what you hear in the image? You are thinking of resemblance.
And the image of God, look at his face. Look at his face. And you are all image of God. God will see Jesus. Hallelujah. No, that's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. So, now, Moses now stand aside. Now says, why am I killing the woman? You know what? You are done with her? Now, he's looking at the perfect work, right? Genesis is there. Okay, you know what? Why am I killing her? What if I tell you, I'm not forcing you, but I'm not forcing you to keep her. But you know, give her a bill of divorcement. Don't kill her. Give her a bill of divorcement to show that there's nothing between you guys anymore. And if I give her the bill of divorcement, let somebody take it to the judge. So they had a judge. So the judge will look at it and now tell you to give her a bill of divorcement. So you give her a bill of divorcement, she's free from you. You don't kill her, she goes away. Right? With that bill of divorcement, she can go away. She decides to remarry, she can remarry and live life. Is that God's law?
Yes.
The woman will be happy. Is that not God's law? Bros, now God's law. Hallelujah. Did you see? That's a bill of divorcement. If Moses permissiveness. Moses law! No. Remember I told us yesterday that I want us, we have to deal with, can you notice why I said we have to be done well with what Genesis before we get to Moses law. Right? I have my reason for that. Hallelujah. So that we have known what God's perfect plan is. So when we get to Moses law, you are okay. You will not be the one saying Moses law. Moses law. Moses is wonderful. I love Moses. Did you get that? Right, because you read well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see? Can you see this now? Is that not God's law? That's God's law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, give her a bill of divorcement. Showing you are no longer interested. This is God's law. Hallelujah. God's perfect. But not God's perfect demonstration of it. Right? It's God's law, but not God's perfect demonstration of it. But it could survive. It could suffice then. Did you see that? It could suffice then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see this. Because sometimes we write something. Okay, yeah, I've said it. Sorry, I shouldn't drop my gun. You see why it's good to write something? I'm going to say something, but I saw it down now. Good. But I'm not yet there. Hallelujah. Amen. So, justice is not, listen to this. Justice is not a word you jump at. That word justice, not a word you jump at anyhow. No. Hallelujah. Or justice. No. It's not a word you jump at. Okay, but I think that's too much. Justice is not the word you jump at. Hallelujah. 20 years back, justice then and justice now is not the same. 20 years ago. In fact, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, if you steal and you are caught, you will be killed in Babbage by firing squad. You don't know? Yes, now. You will be killed by firing squad. Some people were killed by hanging them on a tree. They just hang them on the tree. And they will die. You don't know. Well, they will hang them on the tree and shoot them. Some of you didn't know this thing. Hallelujah. In this day, Nigeria. People will hang. Babbage then used to, and people will come and gather. So before they shoot them, somebody before to see. So if you are a stubborn child, your father and your mother will take you to Babbage. She means they see where they see where they hang. That's what they do. Hallelujah. So children will be there. People will be there. And somebody will come like a pastor and come and say, okay, say your last word before I pray for you. I'm serious. Say your last word. Talk. And these people will shout, God will revenge my soul. After you are done, the clergyman will not pray for you. Usually a chaplain will not pray for you. When they don't pray for you, they will not cover your face.
and the military guys at the back get a command from there. They say, oh, shoot! In this same country. And when the person is dead, they just carry their corpse and take it to, they don't even bury them, they use it to go and do cadaver. They don't know what cadaver is, so just hand it in. Now, I want you to watch this. And people will clap and celebrate them. Ah! This guy when they disturb us don't die. Ah! At least we'll get peace. Justice! Ah! Justice! It's justice. But today, there are some countries where they've abolished death sentence as justice. You can serve life imprisonment, but not death sentence. And they will tell you that is justice. I follow you. So the world is changing. Years back, what we call justice, not what we call justice today. Today, years back, when they go, like what is happening, and people are going and they're killing people up and down, and then they didn't call the name of anything. You know, years back, they'll be clapping. Ah! Those military guys are powerful. Wonderful guys. Look at them, they were killing people. But today, you'll be brought to International Court of Justice for infringing on the fundamental human rights. Right? Can you see what is happening? Justice is changing. And glory to God. Now take it. Now you're talking about 20, 30 years back. Right? Right? Now take it back to 2,000 years before. What do you think justice will be like? What do you think justice will be like? Now take it to the days of Moses. What do you think justice will be like? Somebody even step on your leg, they will don't match you. Ah! Iwo! Ah! They are gone. That is justice. And people will clap. Ah, you did what is right. Right? But today you say no. So several people are coming against Moses. Why would Moses say an eye for an eye? But you know that is God's law. An eye for an eye is God's law. It's God's law. If you are in their world, and you see eye for an eye, you can't see what they will see their life. Hallelujah. Amen. It's God's law. But we see something. Hallelujah. Why Moses had to be like that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the days of Moses, it was allowed. Okay, so in the days of Moses, it was allowed like that. So in Christ, we would now have God's perfect picture. At least in the days of Moses, it was allowed like that for you to put your wife away. But in Christ, you will have the perfect picture. Right? That is where we come to see the perfect picture. Look at Paul in Galatians 3:24. Paul said something. We'll begin to round up now. Galatians 3:24. Are you there? You're there, I want to read. He says, therefore, the law was our tutor. Old King James was our schoolmaster. Right? Our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We're not talking about you today. But you know, Paul was writing. Well, he was referring to the children of Israel, right? Hallelujah! You were never under a tutor. Truly. Hallelujah! When it is the word tutor, is the word paidagogos. I said this earlier. It's used for a nanny. One who is an errand person to help keep a child. It's not the real teacher. It's not a teacher, but like a maid. So the law was like a maid to bring us to Christ. So, I need to see that. So, in Christ, you will find the, look at chapter 4, from verse 1. And I say, now, I say that the head, as long as he is a child, not you,
Do you understand me?
And then, hey, when I was a baby, you know,
as long as he's a child, does not different from the slave, though he's master of a but is under steward. Is the same thing under steward? Is that a pedagogos? Yes, under steward, under unto the time appointed by the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Did you see that? So what is the fullness of time? What is the fullness of time? In Christ. Are you following me? Glory to God. The fullness of time is where? In Christ. So in Christ, you would find the fullness of what the permissiveness of Moses' law was leading up to. You see that? What that permissiveness was leading up to, you find it in Christ. Hallelujah. So in Christ is the fullness of the time. So we can say God's perfect plan, which is the Genesis, is fulfilled in Christ, in the incarnation. Can you see that? God's perfect plan, which is what? The Genesis, was fulfilled where? In Christ. So now that means there was a progressive, how should I put it down? I don't know how to use it. There was a progressive intervention to Christ. So in Christ, you now find that perfect, you understand, that Genesis, the Genesis of God, you find it fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. So there will be a progressive intervention, progressive permissiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we can say God's perfect plan, which is the Genesis, is fulfilled in Christ. So when I read Matthew 5:38, for example, Matthew 5:38. What Jesus said. Say, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other for him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. You see that? This is perfect, right? Right? He said, whoever compels you to go a man, go with him too. Give him who asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. When he said that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that is Moses. That is Exodus 21. In fact, you have to read from verse 16 down to 24. That you know, hallelujah, that you see the progression. And you say, wow, Moses, you are lucky. Hallelujah. Read the progression. Look, read it in line with what was prevalent in your world. Hallelujah. So Moses will now say, see, if a man caught in your world, I might hit you and you don't die. Eh? But the first thing is I don't hit you. You can organize for me to die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? It was a brutal war where strength is known by fight. Fight to die. Territories are won with fight. Are you following me? Territories are won with fight. People just say, just organize fight. Ah, let's go and beat up Barcelona. You know? Go, that's the fight. Ah, Old Trafford. Let's get there. Let's go and kill them. Do you understand? Do you understand? So, you just see all those fights. But, Moses now came and now says, an eye for an eye. But I think he's saying, no, he says an eye for an eye. If someone kills your goats, why are they killing the person? What if the person pays you back the goods? Makes sense, right? Right? Someone steals your goods and you cut the person. You kill the person. That is their world. I answered, no. What if the person gives you back, returns back your goods? Wouldn't that be okay? Makes sense. Will you? So if the person returns back your goods, will you still kill the person? Say, no, I have my goods, I'm fine. Oh. Come back to good, an eye for an eye. Did you get it? What if the person steals your goat and kills it? I'll kill him. What if I give you his goat so that you kill the goat too? Would that be you rather than killing the person? Do you see? An eye for an eye. Do you see? Are you following me? But what is God's perfect plan? If a man slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If you not show your cheek like this, you are not understanding. Do you understand? God has done that for me before. I was the person, why? Where is that? I say, why? Hallelujah. Because I know that that was all I was referring to. By giving me free cheeks, let me slap in it. Hallelujah. Because the person was tough. When they slap in, you're doing the word. You're not doing any word. You're stupid. Hallelujah. So the same way you're an eye for an eye doesn't mean I'll come and plug your eye. No. That is not. An eye for an eye means, what if I repay you back in the same way I bought you, rather than killing you? Are you following that? An eye for an eye? But God's perfect plan is, forget it. Taking your sin, allow it to. That's God's perfect plan in Christ. Did you see that? So no revenge. God's perfect plan is no revenge. But you know, their world is, in what was happening in their world is, you will die for doing that. But Moses now stepped it down. Can you say? So Moses' law was a step down for what was happening in their world. Are you following me? Was a step down. Let's step it down. Are you following me? So why not let him just give you? What if he gives you money and redeem you? Money. Evil man. I need money. Do you know that? So that is how it goes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm making you like Moses, right? Hallelujah. So when I read Matthew 5:38, when you read even verse 43, when Jesus says, so what Jesus was doing was not contradicting Moses at all. Love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But Jesus says, hey, I understand that. Do you understand me? I understand that. But you know what? Love your enemies too. That is. But Moses is writing it as a step down. Are you following me? Your phone will fall. Moses is writing it as a step down. Glory, hallelujah. So, when I read Matthew 5, I am not reading contradiction. I'm not saying Jesus is trying to correct Moses. Jesus is. I'm saying what Jesus is telling you, what God's fullness of time is to walk in it. Do you understand what is in God's fullness of time so you walk in it? So all this while they've been, you know, every time the law was being stepped down. I follow me. There was a stepping down. But yet, in all those stepping down, what was being communicated around? God's perfect plan. Right? God's perfect plan. That is why when you hear Ezekiel say, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. What do you think he's talking about? I'll give you a heart of flesh. What do you think he's talking about? Take away the stone, I'll take away wickedness. That's wickedness. And what does he call what he will give you? The spirit. So he's taking away wickedness. So in as much as there's a stepping down, what is being taught around God's perfect being? Are you following me? But they will have a stepping down. But what was being preached was still God's perfect plan. So you are seeing God's perfect plan and stepping it down. I thought, oh, God loves you. Do you understand? So that is God. So Peter will look at it and I'll call it, this is God's love suffering. For Peter will call it God's love suffering. I mean, God's long suffering is what? Salvation. Are you following me? Can you see? So God's long suffering is salvation. That is God's long suffering. How you follow them up and was just looking around and was stepping it down for them. God was stepping it down for them. But around it is God's perfect plan. I will take away the stone house. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will cause you to walk in my way. Can you not see? You keep my statutes and do them. Did you see that? So while that is going on, the stepping down is going on, God was canvassing his word, his perfect will in the fullness of time in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus doesn't contradict the Moses. No. No. Hallelujah. Rather, see. Okay, one can read it as and say Moses is not good. Moses is bad. Jesus is good. No. Jesus is only interpreting what Moses was passing across. What Moses was passing across is love. Did you get? Eh? So rather than kill, let me just show you love. As you turn back, there that. So Jesus was just telling me, this is what Moses is passing across. Moses is telling you his love. He was not contradicting Moses. He was just telling him, Moses was passing across love. Hallelujah. And this will be progressive. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And this is an approach that most missionaries also do employ most times, especially some missionaries that brought the word to some countries or to some place. Hallelujah. You see them, they will tell them, okay, there are some things that they will allow, maybe because of the community and the primitive nature of the community that they found themselves. It doesn't mean that that is perfect, that's all God wants, but because of where they are, what was available, so they allow them to do that. Hallelujah. For that time being. But most times, many people now bring it as part of doctrine. No. It's just permissiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we also find permissiveness in the book of Corinth? We'll yet see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I study and see this permissiveness, I must understand it is because of their world. But I will find the fullness in Christ. Hallelujah. Also, a pastor can give an instruction to his church. A pastor has the right to give an instruction to his church so as to correct practices in their world that are wrong. Hallelujah. Can give an instruction to his church. That will be prevalent in his church. Glory to God. And it will be a show of God's love. As we read the book of Corinth, we will see some practices which they had that was not wrong, but was just a practice, just permissiveness, like the practice of food. Hallelujah. When they come together, they eat. Glory to God. It was a practice that wasn't wrong, but at some point they now begin to walk in the flesh. Factions and people were dying. Hallelujah. So Paul steps in and says, hey, and you know, you remember, this practice was not just prevalent in Corinth alone. Hallelujah. If you go to the book of Acts 2, they shared what they had together, right? So it was something that they do regularly in their fellowships, in their church, or in the local church, in the gathering. They share what they have. People bring food and everybody eat. You understand? Eat together. But no, Paul now gives instruction because of what was already happening in his church, right? The church at Corinth. He now gives an instruction that because it has caused division. But what Paul pointed to them was that this is not what you're supposed to have in the church. It has caused division within the flesh. When we come together, it's not to eat food. That's what he said. It's not for food. You understand me? It's not for food. And what did he now say we'll do when we come together? He says spiritual things. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So pass across that information. So automatically telling them, hey, we don't walk in the flesh here. Hallelujah. The major reason why we come is so that we get better. So you say you are coming for the worse and not for the better. And what does he call the better? In the spirit. Edification. Love. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Some people will say, Paul told them that the woman should not tie her tie in that church. No, Paul didn't say that. We'll look at it. Paul didn't say that. Paul was only using that to teach submission. Hallelujah. And if you read very well, Paul will not say, we have no such law. If anyone becomes contentious of this, like people are doing today, they will have no such law. But he used that, and that was something that was prevalent in their culture. In their culture, that women cover their hair. Do you understand? It was prevalent in their culture. And he says, don't even nature teach you that you should cover your hair? That is, it was prevalent in their culture that women cover their hair.
And he says, see, we don't have any such law in the church. Do you understand? Paul wasn't saying you should not know your name. Paul was using that, what was prevalent in their culture, to teach them submission at home. Are you following me? To teach them submission, to submit to one another. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hope you're understanding this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, very important. So what Paul did was to point to them what has happened in Christ, which is to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So he just brings up all this towards the end of his life, right up to the church at Corinth, telling them to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to end here today. On Saturday we'll go further. Hallelujah. We'll go further a bit and look at questions like I believe we'll be able to look at